Good afternoon. So Movie Labs, I think for those of you who don't know us, is a joint venture between the six, soon to be five, major studios. We do work in the sort of technology-related work that benefits sort of the industry and multiple studios, mostly around areas of digital distribution. What am I doing? Forward, this one? It's taped over. There we go. So I wanted to introduce a new initiative today that we've recently launched, and that is an ontology for title metadata. And what we're looking to sort of try and help solve is a problem that I would imagine a lot of people in this room have come across, and that is, how do you exchange data between different systems? All this stuff has different schemas, it has different vocabularies, and all the rest of it. And so ontologies can help you solve that. So just to sort of recap, I mean, what is an ontology? As Wikidata describes it, a set of concepts and categories in a subject area or domain that shows their properties and relations between them. And essentially, it's something that will give you a framework and a way of structuring and thinking about a certain set of data within a particular sort of domain. The goal of that, as I say, is to really kind of think about how you move data from one place to another, how you marry data sets, etc. I think a problem, say, we see a lot of. And this sort of somewhat illustrates it. You have data from multiple sources, third-party vendors, internal silos, and to the extent you want to move anything, this constant sort of ETL or execute transform load where you have to kind of go, okay, this is in this format and I'm going to move it over here and I've got to convert this data to that and map this naming scheme to this naming scheme. And if you do that across several systems, you end up with this sort of horrible pile of spaghetti, and it's a constant thing. Every time something changes, you have to run it all again, etc. So the idea of an ontology is to try and simplify that somewhat. And what an ontology does is it's a sort of abstraction. It's about sort of trying to sort of up-level the entire sort of domain of information and provide a framework that you can then map any one system into. And when you map it into that system, you can then map it back out to an alternate system. And of course, once you've basically built a mapping for one system, you can then map that to any other system that you've that you're looking to move the data into. So again, just to sort of recap, think of the ontology, as I say, it's kind of this upper level sort of abstractive layer. It can be written in anything. You can write it in a Word document if you like, but it's really about defining those crucial sort of relationships between different entities or different aspects of the data, and then also the vocabulary that you use to describe them. You generally, in machine terms, don't write it in a Word document. You use a language called RDF, which is Resource Description Framework, and it's very sort of verbose and kind of fairly wonky. But this forms the basis of graph databases, which maybe something people have used here or are familiar with. The key thing is, this is not a schema per se. Schemas are what you actually develop and use to usually sort of to actually implement an instantiation of a database. So you might have an SQL schema, JSON, XML, or the RDF graph. And so I tend to sort of think, you can think a little bit of an ontology in a sense as a sort of maybe a strategic kind of decision or call, whereas schemas tend to be sort of more tactical. They're about solving specific use cases. So the Movie Labs common ontology, we focused, I think, initially on the idea of the title, the work, if you like. Mostly because if you can start there for our industry, then a lot of the other sort of stuff and use cases sort of flows out from that. So when you think of ontologies, or when you're designing ontologies, you think of these things in classes. And the big work around an ontology is, how do you define what's in this class, what are these subclasses, and how do they sort of relate to? That's the sort of the hard part. So our ontology has three main classes: the creative work, so that's everything. So it's things like the title, it's identifiers, it's the cast and crew, everything that's specific to the work. There's another class for people. Ours is relatively simple at the moment, but it's their name and their birth date and things like that. And then we have a third class, which we think about as groups, and that's really one of the things that you can sort of start to use the data. And it's ways of bringing together sets of titles into a group that have some sort of common relationship. And as we move on to the next slide, things like franchises and brands. Now, classes and ontologies are often thought of, you know, they can be extensible, and they can change. I mean, there are risks to changing them, but we've thought about some of the obvious areas we might extend our existing. We've sort of have now launched version one, if you like. It's available. The first version focuses on movies, but I think an extension to include sort of TV or episodic work is an obvious thing. I think there's a lot of potential in thinking about descriptive metadata. I've just done a big thing on sort of genre, and for those of you who work with genre, it's a bit of a nightmare. You know, if we're going to do more descriptive metadata, there's probably value in thinking about how we sort of structure and think about and call these things. The person class, we work very closely with IDA, because we're one of the founding organizations. There's an ongoing conversation around a sort of an IDA 3.0, and one of the things that I think will be part of that is sort of a person identifier. So, you know, the idea of aligning our class here with what's going on there is another one. So, and then there's the option to extend it with actual new classes. And some of the people that have worked with this in the studios on defining this, you know, there's already work on in-scene metadata, the thought about using potentially or distribution assets or awards, which turn out to be quite complicated. So we kind of left that one for the next round. The point of this is that when you then want to relate one thing to another, that sort of becomes a much easier task or job. So in the case of, say, assets, one of the things when we talk to people, there's, you know, people spend a lot of time finding things, right, or trying to find things. So you can imagine a scenario where somebody wants to license something in a territory. Well, if you want to sort of, the initial stage is sort of finding potential titles, say, films with a particular actor in it. You might go to the creative work where a lot of that data is stored. You find that. How do you then relate that back to your distribution assets? Do I have the right subs, dubs, audio tracks? What assets do I have that might work in that particular territory? But you can reference from the creative work to the assets. And that's sort of the power, I guess, of thinking of these things ontologically. So when we set out, we had some sort of driving principles. We did look at some of the existing open schemas. We really didn't find that they quite matched, you know, all the sort of use cases that we thought were important. International was a big piece of it. I mean, vast majority or the bulk of the revenues now is coming internationally. So, you know, the ability to encode things like language and country is really important. The extensibility, both either the public or private domain. So we've open sourced this. It's available for anybody to use. But in adopting it, there may be certain aspects that you would want to, you know, that you would want to keep private or proprietary to solve particular problems, and it's extensible in that sense. Source was a very important thing for us. So every element in the ontology carries with it source or provenance. This speaks to whether or not you think you can trust a certain piece of data or how you want to treat it, or perhaps who has access to it or doesn't have access to it. A big thing with ontologies is the ability to reference other sort of pieces of work or ontologies or data, so lots of external opportunities for external identifiers and references. And the other piece of it, we really kind of wanted to make it practical. Sometimes ontologies can be a little bit sort of academic. And so we internally built a test prototype. We've ingested, I think, 250,000 or more films from over a dozen different sources. So things like IMDb and BFI and IDA and Wikidata, all of that has been ingested, normalized, conforms to the ontology, and it can be put literally into one database. All of that stuff can be queried as just one single source. So we've proven, I think, it can be done. I am running out of time, so I'm going to... I'll just touch on this real quick. Can I go back? So these are some of the things in the class. You can see identifiers, titles, the name of the film, language, runtime, keywords, cast and crew with contributors, so just to give you a sense. And so for us, next steps, as I say, we've published the white paper. The RDF is available. We also have a JSON schema that was developed off this ontology as well. We have mappings for IDA and IMDb. In the future, we look to do some additional mappings. We're sort of starting to evangelize this and look for adoption and use cases. So if people have thoughts or ideas where this might be something that applies to them or they're trying to solve these sorts of problems, we'd be happy to talk. And we've developed some code around this, which we haven't open sourced yet, but we do have some code that we probably will open source or could make available to actually help instantiate, you know, real databases around this stuff and ingest either some of these sources or your own sources. So that's it. I think I'm over.
Great job. Thank you, Daniel.
Okay.